Well, greetings, friends. We're glad to have you once again with us on the Monday night open forum. These open forums are being brought to you through the facilities of the Midwest Center for Truth here in Northwest Arkansas, just outside of the small town of Leslie, Arkansas. And all of these sessions that we have, Monday night, Wednesday nights, during the daytime, Thursdays, and throughout the whole week, including Sundays, are a ministry of CMI Bible Research Center and a production of CMI Audio and Video Network System. So we invite you into our open forum tonight. Speaking of the audio network system, I wanted Raven just to talk to you a second, tell you how to find us on the radio.
Well, it's an internet radio network that David Winger developed, and basically we are now programming it and running it and putting the stuff on the network. So what you do is you go to our website at cmintl.org, and you'll hit enter on the first page you come to, and then you come to the home page. On the right-hand side of the home page, you'll see our screen where we broadcast our 24/7 channel. Underneath the screen, that 24/7 screen, you'll find a link. It says, "Listen to us on the Habitation of God Radio Network." You'll click that link, and a new tab will open up, and it'll begin to play whatever is going on the radio station at that time. We keep these programs in a loop, and we bring new ones on all during the week. So go there. This will work on every mobile device as well as computers. So you can go to that website, click that link. That's the easiest way right now to do it, is to go to the website, click the link, and you'll be able to listen to it.
Good old. We will be, in time to come, broadening our programming scope. We look forward to the time and are already talking about it here and laying plans for it, a programming for young people and children. We would love to occupy particularly Saturday mornings with the radio program that is geared particularly for children. We have workers here that are dedicated to that, and broadcasting a quality of music that is Christ-centered throughout the radio program. So just pray with us that the Lord will lead and guide and direct in the programming. Raven Bird is listed on Habitation of God Network as the program director, and just be praying with us that the Lord will lead us and guide us, direct us, because we will bring nothing other than Christ-centered programming, but we would like for there to be a diversification in that programming, and yet maintain throughout its Christ-centeredness. So, but it's up and running now, as he said, and you can find it. And if you're in a situation where it's better not to try to watch something, but you can listen, then the radio through the internet is your answer for that. So the Lord bless you, and just be praying with us that this be just one more avenue for this gospel to go throughout the Lord's body and around the world. So, appreciate you being with us on the open forum tonight. I think that the last session we had, we probably were talking about reconciliation. And with that in mind, we're going to continue. Raven and I just had a real good discussion over in the library. We probably should have just brought that over here to begin with. but we'll try to pick up some of the things we were talking about there. Also, the theme reconciliation, yes, is there. Reconciled by the death of his son. Well, we're looking at the death of Christ on the cross. We understand that it is a multifaceted death. That is, it reaches out, it reaches throughout, and it brings into itself the whole eternal plan of God. The cross is the center of our salvation, the center of the eternal plan of God. Once you begin to understand the cross, and you can only understand the cross by understanding that it is personified in the very person of Christ. In other words, it isn't something that Christ just did, but it is a manifestation of who Christ is. And we're looking at the terms judgment and grace. Judgment and grace. And I'm not planning to make a big deal out of the two terms, Christ dying as us and Christ dying for us, but let's look at a verse that deals with both judgment, and it's found in a portion of Scripture that deals with reconciliation as well. Now, I think last time we were into Romans 5 with regard to reconciliation, reconciled by his death, that we might be saved, that is, made whole by his life, but pointing to the fact still that reconciliation is by the death of his son, remembering in John 12, where Jesus is speaking of his death, he speaks concerning the seed, but then he says, now is the judgment of this world. Now is the judgment of this world. Now is the prince of this world cast out. And if I be lifted up, and thus he spake of the cross, his death, his crucifixion, I will draw all men unto me. Now it is another verse that says the same thing that we'll be looking at just for a little bit, and not just looking at that verse, but the reality that surrounds it. And it's in 2 Corinthians 5:14. 2 Corinthians 5:14. And I want to just read something about this and a definition of the terms that are here, and then we'll just start our discussion. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead. Now, a little better translation of that would say, then were all counted dead, or all died with him, or all were made to be dead. The point is that when he died, all died at that same time. When he died, all died. All being all mankind from start to finish. All being both Jew and Gentile from start to finish. All being the Adamic mankind, the Adamic creation. And all means the whole of it. So it means that he gathered into his death, gathered into the body of his death, gathered into his very flesh, that body that was prepared of God for him in order that he might die. This one who counted it not something to be held on to, but rather emptying himself, he made himself no reputation. This is in Philippians 2, you know that. Being took upon himself the form of a servant, being found in fashion as a man, and being found as a man, became obedient unto death. This incarnation was necessary so that he might die. That was the body of his death. And into that body, at the cross, because, hon, the cross is so much more than our religious view of it, or the view of Christianity that hangs it about our neck on little chains, or puts it up on the front of buildings, or all of this other stuff. Well, okay, fine. I'm not going to argue with you about it, except we have reduced in our minds the cross to being just that, a symbol of Christianity. And nothing could be farther from the truth. The cross is now, always has been, the power, the glory, the wisdom of God made manifest in His Son at Golgotha. And that very Son still embodies the very fullness of all that the cross is. The cross is not a historical event locked away in history, but an ongoing work of God, an ongoing reality fulfilled in the Son of God. Because the cross embodies His death and His burial, and the events of that burial that the psalmist writes so much about, and the resurrection. And not only that, but His ascension and His being seated. The cross embodies all of that. Rather, all of that is embodied in Christ as the cross. Well, all right, but we need to have some fundamental understanding that the cross is more than a symbol of Christianity. And so when he died, and again, we may or may not have looked at in Hebrews, this was the announcement that was announced to man, to Adam, to man, in the garden. And when it was announced to Adam, to man, it was announced to all mankind. Thou shalt surely die. You eat of this tree, thou shalt surely die. The Hebrew writer sees that, brings that into his text. It is appointed unto man once to die. Now, that obviously is not talking about natural deaths. Natural deaths. It can't be, because there's no once to that with regarding all of mankind. And here, in what we're talking about just now, we're dealing with all of mankind, not just a bunch of individuals dying physically. All of mankind, the whole body of mankind being summed up in the body of the cross, the body of Christ's crucifixion, and put the actual word for this is to put off, to die off, to put away, to be put out. It means dead to God. All right. This is the verse. This is the verse. And in the Vines Dictionary, while the word that is used there in the Greek, dead, is being defined here, Vines says, of this definition, it is used of separation of man from God. All who are descended from Adam not only die physically owing to sin, but are naturally in the state of separation from God. And that's the definition of the word death used here. All became dead. All became, I'm just reading it to you, hon. All became judged. The final judgment, the adjudication and execution of the judgment of God came. It came in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who said, "All judgment is delivered unto me, because I am the Son of Man. Judgment given unto me by my Father." You can read it all in John 5 and 6, and it goes on. Here is the judgment. Here is the appointed time. Man wants to die, consequently, the judgment. That is the judgment that is brought at the cross upon all mankind. And that's what this verse is saying. That's the reason you go on under this and see the word reconciliation, reconciled. Though most do not understand the meaning of reconciliation when it's defined in the person of the Son Himself. But that's what this verse means, and that's what in this short amount of time we're going to be looking at. But I wanted to say something about it. I turned to this morning because I wanted to look at the word for all. For all. And that's the reason we don't make such a big deal out of dying as us and for us, because these prepositions kind of hop around everywhere. But this one used here has a tremendous meaning. In the Greek, it's used sometimes just the word for. It's called hooper. It's H-U-P-E-R. However you would pronounce that in the Greek. But here It's H-U-P-E-R, and then it's joined with another word, E-K-P-E-R-I-S-S-O-U. The references are given to it. And a still farther strengthened, so I'm reading now from Vines. Vines. Here's the word as it is used here. It becomes a gigantic word here. A gigantic word here. And I'm going to read all three of the things to you, and then we'll look at it. That, and you can get rid of the word if, that one died for all. Then, and only then were all gathered into that death. Then all became dead by that death. But hon, that's the judgment that Hebrews speaks of. Died once. Consequently, the judgment. Until all men are gathered up in the judgment of God, grace could not be given to even one man in Christ, real, the work of grace. And we understand that. Until all man, because God, and Rabin and I was talking about that, and it was Rabin who said that, and in the scriptures we see God dealing with two. He deals with Adam, he deals with Christ, and everything in that. Everything. Consequently, all men die, or no man can have grace. Not grace as it is fulfilled in Christ. I keep saying that because I know somebody's going to say, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Yes, yes, yes. But grace fulfilled in Christ, the gift of God that dwells in you, is the grace we're talking about. Of which with Noah, it was but a type and shadow. All right? Judgment had to come. You've got to get a hold of this. Judgment had to come upon all men. Rabin, the cross wasn't just a Halloween masquerade party of some kind. The Son suffered that judgment in His body. He was for a little while. I think all of this made lower than the angels made lower for a little while comes right down to this time. I think everything else in preparation for it, His childhood and His ministry and all of that. Where He said, My Father is in Me and I'm in My Father. But here it comes to a point where there is that separation He suffered. Else He wouldn't have been standing in the place where He was standing when He cried out, Thou shalt not leave My soul in hell. There was that separation because He who is the judgment suffered the judgment in Himself. That's why the word for is used. I was amazed. I had no idea. It means, it is translated, exceedingly abundantly. My God. This wasn't just somebody dying. This death for all was exceedingly abundantly, another word, above measure. Above measure. One of the verses in the Bible that uses it in another context is that unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Well, evidently He did that exact thing at the cross. That death being exceedingly abundantly above measure. Oh, my Lord God, it couldn't then be measured by sins of anybody. You know, our salvation. But the grace of God is going to be the exact antithesis, because where sin abounded, which it did there, in that he gathered it all together, grace did much more abound. And I think that's why Paul says, not as the offense, but also as the free gift. There's a connection, but there cannot be a real comparison between the two.
No, and that's why chapter 5 of Romans, who goes into that and goes into the two men being distinguished and all die in Adam, all are made alive in Christ, and the distinction there starts it off by speaking of, by faith we access this grace in which we already stand.
Yes.
Because he's making a distinction now between the realm of the Adamic and Christ, where God, and you said it, once and for all. It's a once and for all act of God. And that's the thing that seemingly people don't understand. It's almost like the cross was a failure. It wasn't a real finished thing. It didn't complete anything. It didn't defeat anybody. and all that's still a process going on. No. The whole acknowledgement of the work of God in our hearts is based upon a once and for all work of God. Now, there is eternal weight to that, that our soul is constantly coming to acknowledge and coming to realize. But it is a once and for all work.
Yeah.
God needs nothing to add to it or take away. There is nothing that can take away from it, not even me messing up, screwing up, or being a screw up. Nothing. It's once and for all. It's done. He defines the reality of it. And the reason that most of us have a hard time with what we're saying, or most people have a hard time with it, is because of an absolute lack of faith that accesses a grace that he defines.
Yes.
A grace that accesses a salvation, or faith that accesses a salvation without sins.
Yeah.
And that's why, because we're constantly beholding ourselves, assessing ourselves without reference to this reconciliation, to this work once and for all. Because God didn't open up a door and say, everybody come in and try your best. It was a work where he... You said, I wrote it down, I was writing this while you were talking just a second ago, that at the cross, and this is the part about reconciled by death.
Yes. But yes.
He forever, at the cross, he forever ended his relation to mankind.
My, my, my.
Now that is a very strong statement, but
that
it is
true.
A true statement, and we would get in trouble probably for saying it by people, but that is absolutely true. It's almost like, well, it happened at the cross. It's him turning his back basically upon an entire world and creation and age and saying, I will never relate to this again. There's only one with whom I relate. And I think that's said in such a powerful way when Paul says that according to the seed of David, he came,
yeah,
and died,
yeah, but.
But he was raised and declared Son of God by the resurrection.
Amen.
To me, it's saying the same thing. The seed of David, the seed of man, that seed I'm done with. Although it was a type, testimony, whatever, and it takes in all of it. It takes in man, it takes in the testimony, all of it. I will not relate to it again. Here's my relation to all who will be related to.
Yeah.
This is it. This is my predetermined place wherein I will relate to man. Herein I will meet with thee. I mean, that's how he says it.
Yeah.
I will meet with thee here. To me, that's what he does. So I said, he forever ended his relation to mankind. In his Son, there is a new relation. The intended relation. That necessitated the judgment of all mankind. And that's where we get mixed up. And until you realize that his relation to all mankind was done because it was dead and is separated from him forever, you don't realize your need of the grace of God offered.
No, how could you?
And you don't realize...
Or you make the grace of God such a little thing, it
right.
doesn't matter.
It's a resuscitation of somebody that did sin.
Yeah.
Or was bad. Now he's good. No, he was dead. Because God wouldn't relate to him and couldn't relate to him because he was of the wrong seed. But now, why is the need of new birth? Why isn't it just the need for a new set of principles or a new theology or a new belief system? Why is it a need for a new birth?
Amen.
Because there's a new life that has to come in, because that's dead forever. So, I don't know if that's where you want to go with it.
Well, yeah, that's where we do. Well, I want to go wherever we want to go with it. But that what you've said is exactly what... Why does Jesus say, I am the door?
Right.
And what does he say in connection to that? And here's what people don't... Like you said, man, it's down to Jesus. It's down to this. This is the Son with whom he relates. That's the reason, folks, our salvation is that Son living in us.
And to me, you know, 1 Corinthians, he talks about called into the fellowship of the Son.
There you are.
Man, that's the new birth. That's the new relationship. That's the division.
Yep.
There. Because it's now the Son who has relation to his Father birthed in my soul. And there it is. I mean, that's a reality. That's why, and he makes that part of his teaching about the cross and the foolishness of it and all of that. Because that's the cross. That's part of it. Called into the fellowship of the Son. We don't see that as part of the cross.
But it is.
Because what it does is brings you into a relationship with God that's so singular and so perfect that it has no reference in you or to you, except that he who is in you is made unto you everything with which God relates. And I don't know how to say that any better.
Right.
But
no man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Right.
And that's the person of him. That's the one you're talking about.
And we don't understand, and that's the whole thing, and I still don't really understand it, how clean of a cut this is. You know, how the judgment came and just clearly divided between. And we try to drag the other over and bring it in, but there's none of that. That man, and I see it in what you just read, and you're probably going there, I'm probably going ahead, but that you were saying, if one dies for all, then all are dead, once for all, that's done. So that, and he died for all, that those which live should not live unto themselves, henceforth live unto themselves,
exactly.
But unto him that died for them and rose again.
Exactly.
That's the other aspect of it.
Yeah.
So that if you do live, if there is living at all, it's going to be because the one who rose lives in you.
Man.
That's why there's a new creation. That's why old things are passed away and the new has come. Because he's in you.
And that's why he is the way, the truth, the life. That's why he is our relation with the Father. I mean, it is him, the Son, whom the Father reveals, and it is the Son who cries out and identifies with the Father in us. Because no man knoweth who the Son is save the Father, and no man knoweth who the Father is save the Son, and to them to whom he will reveal them. He actually introduces our soul into his relationship with the Father.
And that's what the word access means in Romans 5. To be brought to the presence or the face of.
To the, absolutely.
So that faith brings you to the face of him who is the grace of God. And man, that's, to me, in view of that grace, there is that clear comprehension of this judgment.
But we try in Christianity, so many parts of it, believer friend, we're not here to argue with you. We're here to reason in the Word of God with you. We'd love to hear from you. We don't want to jump over the judgment. We want to say the judgment hadn't happened yet. We're just living by grace. And when you do, you just take all the meaning out of grace. Grace is not a substitute for heaven, for God's sake, or something to hold you until you get to a better place. The grace of God is Christ living. The grace of God is not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now there is the grace of God.
And we have done so much damage to it because we've made it a dispensation, the dispensation of grace.
Isn't that sick?
And that's going to come to an end.
Now, we might as well say the dispensation of life.
Right, exactly. And, yeah.
Well, the fourth, let me go on with that. This will spark more. It's an abundant, exceedingly abundant, you understand. We're not talking about, don't say he died so I wouldn't have to. Hunt in that gathered up, it's exceedingly abundantly. But there's another, one of the lesser means, and in sometimes when the word is just used with the Hooper, it means on behalf of. But even then, Vines warns that on behalf of is to be distinguished from anti. It's to be distinguished from instead of. It doesn't mean he died instead of. It means the exceedingly abundantly. Definition of the word means that he reached out from humanity to humanity. It is a death that only he could die for us, for the exceedingly abundantly he gathered all into it. So you can't say on behalf, like I've heard it and even read in some commentators, they on behalf of or instead of, or, and it doesn't mean that. It does not mean that. It means that he did what nobody else could do. He satisfied the heart of God his Father. And he himself became the fulfillment of the judgment. Thou shalt surely die. Now, this goes on down to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20. In that, and Rabin has said that already, at the end of all of this, we find a new creation. But, hon, if we'll carefully read that, then there's nothing to bring into that new creation. And if you'll read, if any man be in Christ, old things are passed away, and then we start spinning that, behold, all things are become new. See, he's just made everything new. But the original verse says, the reason old things are passed away, the reason it's all gone, is, behold, the new is come. And the new is Christ himself. He's the one. He's the newness of it. He's the newness of life spoken of in Romans 6. We should walk in newness of life is based upon, well, I'll read that in a minute, and we'll get into another part of this discussion. But I skip beyond that, down to verse 20, concerning the reconciliation. The because the whole new creation is based upon this judgment, this reconciliation. This is not a mixture. It cannot be a mixture. Now, we might mix it up in our theology, but there is only one new man who lives in the new creation. We are part of that new creation only because the new man of it, the Lord from heaven, lives in us. And our soul is brought into a living union with Him because He is the life of that union. And that's a new creation. That's a new creation. Now then, verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though, listen to this, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled. The word ye is not there in the original. Be reconciled unto God. And here's the way it here's why it reads that way. And this is just something from Jameson, Fawcett and Brown. I thought it was a good saying here. Beseech, rather, as though God did plead with you. Such beseeching is uncommon in the case of ambassadors after the natural thinking, who generally stand on their dignity. But here, there is no thought of that. But the heart of God is being seen here. That they are on behalf of God, as though God pleading with them, with these to whom they're writing, to be reconciled. And then they mention, be reconciled to God. The English version here inserts ye, which gives a completely wrong emphasis. The Greek emphasizes God was the reconciler in, by, through His Son, Jesus Christ. What is being said here is let this reconciliation have its designed effect. Be reconciled to God is simply saying, accept the reconciliation already made. Good Lord. I had to just write a little bit on that. Accept. We beg or plead you to accept what God hath done in His Son by the death of Christ. Accept your death. Accept your judgment. Accept the exceeding greatness of your death. That is the allness of your death, the measure of your death as being the whole of mankind. Accept that as the enemies of God, you and I were brought to death by the death of Christ. Accept that you are dead to God and have no life in you, so that you may come to Christ, who is the resurrection and the life, out from among the dead. The much more, the exceedingly more of His death was the whole of mankind, but the much more of life is the allness of the eternal Christ, the Son of God Himself. The allness of life is Christ Himself living in you. You were reconciled by death so that you might come to Christ and live. Paul saying, yet not I, but Christ, the much more, liveth in me. This is the grace of God by which we are saved. And then, let me add this. For you and I to be dead with Christ to sin, because the judgment is a separation in sin. Separation. End of it. I love what Raven said. He ended it. He ended it. He will. He doesn't have 50,000 ways now of reaching out into it and making all of that. No. Just one. For us to be dead with Christ to sin requires a baptism into Christ by His eternal Spirit. Romans 3 and 4 is clear on this, honey, as is so many other parts of the epistles of Paul. What? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ. What? Wait a minute. What? Know ye not that so many of us who? Us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. Therefore, we were baptized into His death. As many of us as were baptized into His death are buried with Him by baptism into death. So that, now here's the grace, so that, like as Christ was raised up out from among the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, not in another way, not by another one, even so, we also, in whom Christ liveth, we who have life, as Raven said a while ago about verse 15, we who live should walk in newness of life.
Yeah, it's on top of that. I mean, it's in that context. All of it being what God wrought in Christ, pretty much, saying it that way. Reckon yourselves. I mean, it doesn't say make yourselves.
No.
So. And that to me is the thing that I had trouble with for years, and people seem to still have a lot of trouble with. It's not a reckoning in the soul. It's a constant attempt to make it so. And that's a different thing. Because in the one that you were just referring to, the one that's raised up from God, the one who is raised by the glory of the Father, the one who is now dead to sin, alive unto God, that's the one who lives in me. And in that one, and here's the cleanness of this thing.
Yeah.
There's not gray areas. There's not little pieces here and there. In that one, there's no conflict. He is not at conflict with himself. He's not at conflict with old man. He's not at conflict with the devil. He's not in conflict. There's no war. There's no battle. Like you told the man, I didn't know there was a war. I mean, that's what we don't understand, because to understand it, you have to see a reality without reference to sin. You have to see Him. Because in Him, none of the constant hacking away is going on, because He's eternally dead, separated from everything that we are continually thinking He's fighting. And we think we have to fight. It's either a once and for all act of God that my soul has to come to the acknowledgement of, or it's not. And that reckoning is just that. It's a reckoning. And it's a reckoning upon the stable ground that He who is in me the newness of life that God has given to my soul is eternally dead to sin and eternally alive unto God. Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, there is the mystery of God, which is Christ. And Raven used the word acknowledgement because Paul says that we come to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, which is Christ. And since it is a mystery, it can't be figured out, and we can't make it 15 or 20 different things, though it gathers many things into it. The mystery is Christ, because it is Christ the Father reveals. And then the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God, which is Christ Himself, yes, begins to fill our very soul and gathers into itself that which is true. But the point is that we have a salvation that must be revealed. And the work of the Spirit, Christ is in us by work of the Spirit of God. And the revealing of Christ is the work, again, of the Spirit of God, which is Christ in you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, we've talked for a while about the cross as judgment. We've made some references to grace. Perhaps we can, the next time, come to, not, we always want to say the other side of the coin or the other side of something. Well, that may or may not describe it, but to the part that abounds. Because where one abounded, grace did much more abound. I tried to say that when I said that the exceeding greatness of His death there, the word for us, the exceeding greatness, He gathered into Himself, is the whole of mankind. But the exceeding greatness of His life, the much more that Paul uses of His life, that is the immeasurable fullness of God in His Son. Eternity alone is the measure of His life. And I went ahead and said that, and I'm going to have to back up and say, but actually, He Himself, the life Himself, is the measure of eternity. The much more, hon. Yes, there is that judgment that until we face, we'll never really comprehend the greatness of our salvation. But though the judgment be what it is, Christ made it to be so. The grace given to those, to the dead who will hear His voice and live, that grace abounds. Blessed be the Lamb of the living God. There is really no comparison between the dead and the living. Christ is the measure of that. Well, we could go on. But we probably said enough. And I appreciate very much what Raven said. Because somewhere, sometimes, somebody's got to just say it. It ended God's dealing. with man. But the grace that abounds is that of Himself He provides a door. But that door is Christ, huh? Let the Lord deal with you about this. Let the Lord deal with you about this. Because I had a brother that at one time was very close to me. Or I thought he was very close to me. Who asked me one time after some sessions, just like this one, in a Bible conference, if it's all about Christ, like you say, if it's just all about Him, then what about us? And I had to stand there for a minute, not knowing hardly what to say. And finally, I just put my hand on his shoulder and I said, "Dear brother, He is in us. My Lord, He is in us." That's what about us. But the salvation and the relation with God and all the rest of it, it's not just all about Him, it is Him. Thank you for being with us. Anything else, Raven?
No.
Remember the radio station. You will be hearing it in its infancy. That's all right. It will grow. It will grow within, and we trust that it will grow in its outreach as well. Well, the Lord bless you. Give us a call, email. We'd love to hear from you. We're not here on these open forums trying to pick fights with people. We're here reasoning together concerning the reality of our salvation. And I don't know how many times, hundreds, maybe thousands, in my learning the Lord, growing up, as it were, into Him, how I have had to make adjustments, but more than adjustments, I've had things torn down to the very foundation, then the foundation removed, and another one coming back. Because it is the gospel, the purpose of which, as Paul said, till Christ and only Christ be formed in you. Let the Lord deal with our hearts together. Thank you very much, and the Lord bless you. Amen.